Today's message, it's time to move out. Turn to John. The Gospel of John. The 17th chapter. We will be reading several verses. Starting in verse 14, I am reading out of the New King James, not the NIV. Are we there? All right, this is Jesus speaking. He says, he's praying to the Father. Okay, this is almost at the end. And he's praying to the Father, and he says, I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctified myself, that they should also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that you may be the one in us, that this world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we're also one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Whole lot that's in there, and I'd ask you to spend some time, because this is really predicated that you begin to understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about and what it is not. Okay? The gospel is not about us getting saved and waiting for a rapture to come. As you can see, Jesus said, Father, don't take them out of the world. Okay? He also said to us in other passages that he expects us to do greater works than he did. So if we're sitting by and waiting for someone else to do something, what we're doing is we're waiting for an event to occur that God is moving on your heart to make a beginning with. So I want to encourage you to go through this. What I'm going to do is just do an overview, an exhortation of this scripture about moving into the prophetic. There are many people today that do not use the gift of discernment. They don't understand what's happening before their eyes, and they don't know what's going on around them. Many of them. Many of them live in a bubble that is insulated from the realities that you and I deal with on a daily basis. And because they insulate themselves in this bubble, they have no idea of what is really happening. They either see the world as rapidly disintegrating into chaos, with governments trying to ease the pain of failed socialistic policies, waiting for the mess to visit them at their doorstep, or they cringe in fear while being filled with hopelessness, wondering what each day will bring them. They are left hoping all of it will go away. But unfortunately, this is not going to happen. And just look at it. You see everyone scrambling to force socialism down the throats of people. I think it's time for us to rise up as a church, awaken from her slumber, and begin to take her place and exercise her God-given authority and take dominion in every nation on this planet including the one that we live in, and bring it under the lordship of our King, Jesus Christ. According to Revelation 11:15. A lot of scripture is going to come tonight. No longer should the church be allowing ignorant people who are influenced by demonic influences to shape this world as we passively sit beside it and watch it happen. We're watching a one world government, one world economic system, and a one world religion that will fall into the clutches of the Antichrist. In the meantime, false religions are rising up, assaulting the church of Jesus Christ, His bride, with lies and deceit about her holiness and her purity. The church can no longer sit by and watch the morass that the people are going into ethically and morally into a cesspool of garbage. We can no longer allow false religions to dictate what's going on in the world. And we must put to death the mindset that the kingdom of God is some future event and that we're waiting for the rapture to occur, because that's not what scripture teaches us. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he told them that the kingdom of God was at hand. Jesus Christ came and said that the kingdom arrived. And that kingdom is here now, and the kingdom and the king is resident within his people. You. Jesus invaded this evil world and demonstrated the power over the devil and his kingdom while he was here. And before he left, he gave specific instructions for us to expand his kingdom. He told us to occupy till he returns. He educated the 12 about the kingdom before he died. He continued to educate the 12 or 11 after he rose from the dead. And what his education was about the kingdom of God, nothing else. Jesus is the King of Kings, and so are you. You are the kings of His kingdom. We have been made for war and have been subjected to conquest. This war is already won, and it makes each and every one of you winners. Whether you think about it or feel like a winner, you are, because that's who Jesus says you are. The problem is, we're trying to sit in some middle ground, hoping that something will not come upon us, when the fact of the matter is, there is no middle ground. As Gary had said, you're either a seed or a weed. You make the choice, and it's your choice. Today, just like in Joshua's time, I have declared for myself and my family that we're going to serve God. We're going to take on kingdom expansion like never before. We're going to use the gifts and talents that we have in order to win people who have not come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue this invasion. You have to make that choice whether you're going to be part of the invasion or you're just going to sit in the pews and not be a part of something. Matthew 12:12 will convict you of that. Jesus gave us a mandate. The mandate was for the church to go and make disciples by preaching the kingdom of heaven. And we're trying to do that. But there's a deeper question that I think that we need to understand. What is the difference between biblical influence and what is kingship? Does anybody know what biblical influence and kingship is? The difference between those two. Biblical influence is how the church operates today. It's a legal system. If you do this and happen to continue in that, you will be blessed of God. And that's how the church picks and chooses if it wants to be blessed of God or not. It talks about our sanctification as being an option, not a reality. You see, you can't sanctify yourself enough. Jesus is either your sanctification, your resurrection, your life, or He's not. And that's what Scripture tells us. The mandate for kings is that kings apply the great king's words to the conquered people or the inhabitants of a land that's been conquered, and to be pleasing to that king. That is what our job is. Our job is to tell them out there what God has said, and this is what He needs from you in order for you to not suffer anymore. It's a mandate. We're told to go and make disciples. Kings make disciple. What are you? You're a king. You got to stop pretending like this is a fairy tale. This is a reality. This is who God says you are. And you got to start believing and behaving that it's true, because it is true. This is who God says it is. This is what God says we need to be doing. Scriptural references, Deuteronomy chapter 16 and 17, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus calls us to be salt and light into the world by utilizing our kingship influences with the people and continue to invade our society. We do this through love and utilizing God's word. This means we have to get involved from the grassroots to every level of society. And it means we have to get involved in our families. I pondered sitting before the Lord about why Jen got married. She was feeling convicted. Her life was not lining up with what God was saying. But the deeper motivation of her heart was she wanted to be pleasing to God. And that's what our motivation should be. Everything we do, I've raised my kids this way, everything we do and say is to be for the glory of God. When people ask us what we're doing, that's why. It's all for His glory. Because that when it's all said and done, that's what it's for. His glory, not ours. We need to get involved. Jesus calls us servants, according to Luke 22, 26. He said that the servant is the greatest in the kingdom. Are you a servant? Well, you know how it is, Pastor. I'm really busy. We're all busy. Is it a matter of priority? Yeah. First priority, first principle of the kingdom, Matthew 6:33. What's it say, Gar? Say it to him. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all this will be added unto you. But we're still thinking that we will seek God as the last option, not the first option. We try to prioritize God in our lifestyles instead of making our lifestyles prioritize around His kingdom. We've got it backwards, church. God wants to ignite our kids when we're not even ignited. We need to be on fire. Pastor Tom Reed wrote a book called Kingdom Now But Not Yet. And in it he states this: the Bible must become more than a handbook of personal salvation. It must become a mandate for the reestablishment of Christ's rule and reign over the earth and the rebellious portion of the universe which Satan now asserts dominion. Is that your priority? Or are you just playing around with your salvation? Are you just feeling good? And it's good to feel good about your salvation. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about God today and how He's just bringing joy to my life and seeing what's going on. But you have to realize the King is not somebody out there. He dwells in you. And where He is, the very kingdom that you represent is in you. You need to exercise your delegated authority as King because every kingdom must bow its knee at the name of Jesus Christ. Every kingdom. Science must bow. Sickness must bow. Your job must bow. Your family must bow. Priorities must bow to everything except the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to atone for all the sins of the world, which started with Adam, and He restores back to His children who are born again and baptized in His Spirit. This kingdom authority. Well, I got born again. But are you baptized in His Spirit? I've been walking with the Lord 30 years. I have the same fire that is consuming me right now. And revelation upon revelation comes in. And I don't fully understand everything. I would be a liar to tell you that I do. But He is teaching me line upon line, precept upon precept, here little, there little. But the things I have, I'm not letting anybody shake them from me. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. For knowing Him is the power of salvation. We no longer need to wonder who we are. We need to know who we are. We are part of a royal priesthood, church. According to 1 Peter 2:9. And we are being trained as ambassadors of His love to a world that He died for. And this apostolic move of God, we need to get involved. No longer picking and choosing what we're getting involved in. Get involved in what He tells us to get involved in. Well, Pastor wants me to do this. No, what has God said for you? Pastor will line up with you and hold your hands up with God. But what has He said for you to do? Well, I don't know if it's God. Well, then move out and see if it is. What's the worst thing you can do? Succeed? God bless you? Win souls? Streams grow? Failure's not in the kingdom. You're a winner. Everything that you do and say, you win because of Jesus. Your circumstances might look bad, but you know what? But Jesus. He taught Irene and I a long time ago. When things look bad, we just stand there and say, and this too shall pass. We're not moving. That storm may be raging. It blows past us and we move forward. We're not letting that storm blow us back. We're taking what He wants us to do. We have learned that we are kings and priests of the Most High God. And so do you. The problem is that this is one of the first principles that we need to learn. And the truth of this is only just happening in the church. It's only taken us 2,000 years to get this truth right. But it's happening. And it can't be defeated. It will not stop. It will happen because God has ordained it. And there's no one greater than God or His Word. And you are part of this. You are destined for great things. Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. This is about the cross and the kingdom. John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends his disciples to Jesus. And we'll pick it up in verse 2, and we'll read the verse 6. And John had heard in prison that the works that Jesus had done. And he sent two of his disciples to say to him, are you the one coming or do we look for another? I find that very interesting because he knew that Christ was going to be born when he was in his mother's womb. He leapt in Elizabeth's womb. He knew who Jesus was when he was at the River Jordan baptizing people. And yet, here he is saying, are you the one that we're looking for, or we got to look for somebody else? John missed it. And we missed it. Jesus said, go and tell John these things, which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus is the anointed one. But yet, we fall into doubts. We fall into areas of what are we doing? Why are we out here? Sometimes we feel we're out there on a limb and we got a chainsaw and we're ready to cut that limb off behind us. But what we missed is that we got the message of the cross, and that should go forward. The only way into God's kingdom is through that cross and believing in Jesus Christ. But then what? Have you ever asked, what's after the cross? Why are we so busy hanging around the cross? Crying like God hasn't done anything? The message after we've given our lives to Jesus Christ is kingdom expansion. That's what Jesus was telling John. He described what the kingdom of heaven was destroying. And doesn't the Bible say that he demonstrated these works to destroy the works of the devil? He was busy setting people free. Oh, well, I can't do that, Pastor. Are you his disciple? Are you a king in his household? Are you part of his family? You should be doing this. This is what he expects of us, church. And when we stand there and we say, God, you know, I did this, this, and this, he's not going to be impressed. The greater works, let me give you a key. The greater works is kingdom expansion. That's the greater works. How you love the unlovable. How you gave to those who were in need. How you served with a grateful heart. How you were spoken evil about. And still maintain a positive attitude. It's hard. It's hard. Look, take it from me. I hear this all the time about me, my family, my wife. And it's hard to keep a positive attitude. And that's just from within the church. If they're going to say that about us in the church, what are they saying about the church out there? We need to be about Father's business. Jesus told him. He was 13 years old, and he said, he went to the temple, and he started talking to him and teaching the masters about kingdom expansion. And Mary and Joseph, they're freaking out. You know, here they are at Passover, and they're looking for him, and he's not around. They find him in the temple, and he says to him one question. Don't you know I need to be about Daddy's business? Are you about Daddy's business? Do you know what Daddy's business is? Do you know that you have part ownership in Daddy's business? Going to Guatemala is part of Daddy's business. Going to your family across the street is part of Daddy's business. Oh, they can't love. You can't love them. You know, they're so heathen. They get drunk. They're the ones he died for. Can you understand the pain and the suffering that's going on in these people's lives? That Jesus made you the answer to all their problems? Well, I just don't know how to share Jesus Christ with them. Who are you being discipled by? Well, I'm not in discipleship. There's your problem. I talked to Pastor Tusi about a situation that's happening within the midst of us, and I happen to agree with him. Not that I knew what the answer was, I already knew what the answer was, but I'm in relationship with him. I need to bounce something off of him, and I need his intake for this situation. I'm being discipled. Are you being discipled? This apostolic move is going to take time. But time is running out, church. Your time is running out. We need to seize the moment. We need to compel them to come. We need to demonstrate by praying for them and rebuking demonic influences. We need to begin to start walking in our power and authority. What is power? The ability to wage war. What is authority? What is dominion? Dominion is the realm of conquered land that you operate from, ever expanding. The kingdom of God doesn't stop. It's ever expanding. That's why he said, this message will be preached to all nations. God has destined you to succeed. Don't believe what your eyes are telling you about your circumstances and your situation. Don't make a decision based on your circumstances. Base it on what God says. That's where he said, he sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Every man shall live by not bread alone, but by every word that God utters. People who know me, and they want to talk to me about a situation, I bring the word out. Come on, let's talk. If you don't have the word and you don't have a biblical basis for your word, we have nothing to discuss. If you read Matthew 18 and talks about church discipline, that's what we're supposed to be doing. There's a reality to this, folks. And this reality is that we feel we have options to serve only when we want to serve. The option is hear his voice and do what he tells us to do for as long as he tells us to do it. That's the only option we have. He's king. We're kings in his kingdom. He's king of kings. He's Lord of lords. We're submitted to him, not the other way around. We don't rub the Jesus bottle and hope that he pops out and answers all our wishes. How is your life aligning up with Jesus Christ? How is your life aligning with his word? You shouldn't be afraid to speak to me. You should be afraid of doing something contrary to his word. Because he will let his word sit in judgment on you. Isn't that what it says? Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you. Thy word is going to judge you. Stop being ashamed of who you are. Don't hide who you are. You're this great beacon, this light. And people are starting to come to you and you're like, why are they coming to me? They're nuisances. They're pests. How do ships know how to navigate the coral reefs? There's a lighthouse that steers them away from it. And then that ship's in contact with that lighthouse keeper in how to get around it without damaging the ship, losing its cargo. You are that lighthouse set upon a hill, ever sending out a light to people. Don't tell them about Jesus and the kingdom until you demonstrate it in your life first. That's the reality of it. You are the king's kid. He has given you power and authority to kick in the devil's life. Oh, you know, the devil did this. I lost this amount of money in my job. And you know, I just don't understand what's going on. Have you sought God? No, but you know, what's he going to do? Well, maybe he'll move on somebody's heart to meet the need that you lost. You see, God uses people to manifest his blessings upon his people, through his people, to bless other people. This is what all Tuesday night was all about. How can we bless you? How can we be a witness to your family? How can we be a witness of Jesus Christ to Al? Moving Ken and Kim, how can we be a witness? And it's okay if you can't be there. If God has said you can't be there, it's okay. Don't feel guilty. Don't let someone make you feel guilty. You need to begin to start pushing out of your comfort zones. You need to start exercising the gifts and callings that God has given to you. You got to stop pretending what you think you are and start behaving what God says you are. I like to put it this way. You need to start agreeing with God and living it as such. The Bible says to cast off every sin that so easily besets you and run a race looking to the Lord to receive a crown from Him. That's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Church, Jesus is coming. His house is not full. He's not rapturing us out. He is protecting us from the evil one. He wants us to be unified. And He wants us to be sanctified. He wants to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Father, we just come before you, Lord. And I exhort your people today, God. They have not realized how awesome they really are, God. They have not realized the potential that you have placed in them, God. The dunamis, the power, the authority to kick in the devil's teeth, Lord God, and command things that are not as though they were, and watch you do things, God. Father, help us to get away from this juvenile mindset and get us out of our diapers, God, and dress us for battle. Cause us, God, to be compelled by your Spirit to tell every living creature about what you have done for them and for us. And how you are so desirous, Lord, to have them be in the kingdom. You have settled the sin issue of the world. We need to tell them that you've done it all for them. You've done everything by giving us your word to prepare us to wage war in this rebellious planet, God. One day you're coming back and you're going to end it all. I, for one, want to hear your words. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But I want to hear it on behalf of those whom you've given to me, God. Because my desire is for them to glorify you. That your house would be full, God. That you would meet their needs and that you would continue to meet streams, God. And take streams to the ends of the earth. To make streams, God, a leader and not a tail. To make streams, God, that which is unique in this day and age today. We don't want to be like any other church except the one that you talk about in heaven. Father, for that is who we are, and I pronounce that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.